puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Yes, and where will we go today in Manitoba with Gordon Goldsborough from the Manitoba Historical Society, our reporter on abandoned Manitoba? Hello, Gordon. Welcome back.
Good morning, Terry.
So last week you promised we'd do some navel gazing.
That's right.
What kind of navel gazing are we going to do, Gordon?
Well, I suspect you gathered that I did not mean navel as in N-A-V-E-L. I meant navel as in N-A-V-A-L, of course, the people who run the Royal Canadian Navy.
What's the connection?
Manitobans sometimes think of themselves as being a prairie province, a landlocked province, but of course we have to keep mindful that we have a coast. We have, of course, the Port of Churchill. And at least since the Second World War, there was a fairly elaborate military presence there, which included a Navy contingent. And as of about 1950, there was a naval base in Churchill.
So what kind of naval base was it?
Well, I suspect if you've been to Churchill, you may have actually seen this facility, because if you land a plane at Churchill at the airport, which of course was the old army base, and then take a vehicle into Churchill, as you're driving along, you will have undoubtedly passed a very large building alongside the road, a three-story building, a big metal-clad building, very conspicuous. I mean, I remember when I first arrived in Churchill, that was the first thing that drew my eye, was this big building right along the road. And that was the naval base. But it's not by the water, which at the time struck me as odd. You know, you think of Navy, of course, as associated with water. Why wouldn't they build a naval base next to the water? But it's literally miles inland. And I think that's perhaps because of the nature of the building.
And what was the nature of the building?
They were a little cagey about it. They said to the public that it was intended to do measurements on the atmosphere. Specifically, they were trying to study the aurora borealis, the northern lights, and how that might affect communications. But in reality, this building was part of the Cold War effort to keep tabs on the Soviets. It was, in fact, a monitoring station or a listening post, basically where they would eavesdrop on the Russians. HMCS Churchill, His Majesty, his because it was before the reign of current Queen Elizabeth, His Majesty's a Canadian station, HMCS Churchill.
And how long was it a listening station?
Well, not especially. It started in, as far as I can tell, December of 1950, and it shut down completely as of 1968. So it was really only operational for about 18 years, which is interesting because if you go by the building today, it'd be hard-pressed to know that it was that old. The building does look in pretty good shape because I think of the way that it was built, it was really a very robust building.
How many people were there at its peak?
Well, I'm told that as many as 100 Navy personnel, as well as members of their family, occupied this building.
The building looks fine from the outside. What's in there now?
Yeah, well, not a lot. I was there back in the 1980s. I spent a summer in Churchill, and I remember distinctly going into the building and wandering around. 1980s was not a long time after they had abandoned the building. There was paper scattered out. There was occasional furniture. Even today, though, I have a friend who lives in Churchill, and I got some interior photos taken not long ago, and there's still a few things here and there, some old furniture tossed about, some tires, the remains of the old generator. They used to get electricity for this facility from Fort Churchill, which is, the site of the current airport at Churchill, but they also had a big diesel-powered generator that they'd use as a bit of a backup source, and it's still sitting in there. The big boilers are still there.
What were you able to find out about what was going on when things were really cooking at this?
Well, that's the thing. Because it was intended as sort of a Cold War facility, they kept very tight wraps on it. In fact, even today, we don't know a lot about what the actual purpose of it was. All we know is that it was a listening station. They would listen to Soviet communications, and everything was classified. So at that point, then nothing was made available. There was apparently an area inside that was high security. You know, you'd have to go through some kind of checkpoint. You'd have to, of course, have the appropriate clearance to be able to get into it inside this building.
Surely someone listening is going to know more about what actually went on in there.
But will they be able to tell us about it?
Or will they be sworn to secrecy for the rest of their lives?
That's right. One of the things that always struck me when I would go by it was it seemed to be kind of intended almost for a flood in that it was sitting up on stilts. And I guess this is because it was intended to avoid the shifting effects of permafrost, because, of course, much of northern Manitoba is underlain by permanently frozen ground. When this permafrost shifts, of course, anything sitting on top of it will move too. But this one pioneered a technique where they would drill piles down deep into the ground and then put the building on top of those piles. And apparently that was quite an innovative approach. This was, say, in the 1950s. Interestingly enough, people came from all over the world to see this building, including people from the Soviet Union. So you have to wonder, did they know what this building was that they were coming to look at?
It is interesting that you've discovered this enigma that is still an enigma.
Yes. Well, in fact, there was a history book written for the Churchill area about 10, 12 years ago, and it says nothing really about the purpose of this building. I suspect because they just didn't know either. There are some interesting details as to what happened after the building closed, because, as I say, it closed in 1968. You know, it was a fully appointed building, well-built building. Say, even now, decades later, it's still in good condition. And I think they recognized that. So when the building was closed, it sat empty for a few years, but then there was apparently an intention to sell it to some businessmen from Alberta. But the provincial government caught wind of that. And they said, no. We want to hang on to that building. We have a feeling that it would be useful for something. So the government of Ed Schreyer at that time petitioned the federal government not to sell it to these folks in Alberta and to instead sell it to the provincial government. And so in 1972, they bought it for $20,000. Now, what's interesting is that at that time, the intention was to use it to establish what they were calling the Canadian University of the North. There was actually going to be a university in Churchill. Of course, it never came to fruition. They did entertain ideas as to what they could use the building for. They had a whole bunch of proposals submitted. There was proposals for a consumer's co-op, warehouse supply for handling deliveries to the north, for a handicraft production and sales industry, a nursing home even for senior citizens, or a bar and catering service. So there was all kinds of proposals that they entertained. For whatever reason, and unfortunately the records in the provincial government are closed. I can't see those either. I can't tell you, in fact, why they chose not to accept any of them. And as a result, the building has sat empty for the last several decades.
Maybe you should ask the Russians.
Who knows? Because maybe they were listening in the same way to the, yeah. The Canadians were listening.
Wow. Great story, Gordon. And what are you going to be telling us about next week?
Well, we're going to visit a site in western Manitoba that pertains to devout teenage boys of Ukrainian ancestry.
Okay, look forward to that. See you next week.
You're welcome, Terry.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.